Now is the time to live, to come before God who creates us, to sing to the Redeemer who frees us. Now is the time to celebrate and worship together as a community that is in need of God's healing and confrontation. Let us stand now and sing together hymn number 11. Actively reading 542. And I would like to make one suggestion towards the end of the responsive reading when it says the sons of God. Let's include sons and daughters of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Let us pray. God, who burst open Jesus' tomb, break open the tombs of indifference and despair that trap our lives and keep us and our neighbors from abundant life. In the spirit of the Christ who knew no indifference, we pray. Amen.
I would like to thank the chorus and Patty Powell for helping us along in this service of worship this morning. I would like to read two passages of Scripture. The first is from the Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly scorned. The second passage is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All of us who have been in seminary or who have engaged in the academic study of religion are familiar with the meaning of playing mind games. You know what I mean. We approach a problem, a theological question, a passage of scripture, a counseling session, anything and everything from an analytical perspective. What is the ethical dilemma here? What was the author's original intention? What are the theological issues involved? What is the canon within the canon? Who was the author? When? Why? And we go on and on. We think this way through books, through churches, through jobs, and through people, until we hit a kind of analysis paralysis. Do not misunderstand me. I think that this type of thought process is very helpful. It is just that before we are able to integrate this process into our thoughts and our deeds, before it naturally directs our ministry, it can lead us down some wild and crazy paths. That is what I mean when I say that we have all fallen at one time or another into the trap of playing mind games. Mind games do become traps. One trap into which I fell, and into which I observe some people here on this campus falling, is the trap which places love of family or commitment to other human beings in competition with our commitment to God. That is, our close personal ties are seen as detractors from our relationship to God. This particular trap caught me when, as a newlywed first-year seminarian, I began to think analytically about my commitment to my husband in relation to my commitment to God. If we were talking strictly about time, action, and thoughts, then my husband won hands down. I was spending almost all of my time and energy in my home and my marital relationship. I became extremely concerned at one point about how God might view this strong commitment to Jeff. This trap still springs in my mind every once in a while when I face a vocational problem and my marriage crops up as the major factor in my decision as to how I can follow my calling. I have seen this mind trap concerning spouse and family relationships strike others on our campus. Several persons over the past years have come to me and told me about their professional and marital problems and have said to me that they feel they must choose God's way above their marriage. I have also seen individuals who feel guilty about the time which they spend upon friendships or other personal ties. They feel as though they are too occupied with worldly things and relationships which are strictly enjoyable. I infer from these individuals that they think they would be more loyal to God if they spent less time on human relationships, or if their relationships remained less intense. Some among us seem to have resolved this dilemma of relationship to God versus relationship to humans. It matters not about their personal or theological identity, single, married, man, woman, fundamentalist, liberal, activist, pietist, moderate, student, or professor. They ensure that God will be in control of their lives by eliminating any intense commitment to other human beings. There is a stereotypical image which circulates among people in the medical profession. It is a common put-down of surgeons, which asserts that physicians who wind up specializing in surgery do so because they cannot relate to patients who are awake. I know from personal experience that this description, like all stereotypes, sometimes holds true. Most often, it does not hold true. Unfortunately, over the past several years, I have observed that a number of us in ministry fit this surgeon stereotype better than do the surgeons. Often, we become fixers and doers who easily spout forth words about loving our enemies, being committed to world missions, caring for the poor and needy. We read Matthew 12:46, where Jesus said, "Who is my brother? And who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven." And we act as if Jesus is setting up some type of competition between family and calling. We read in Luke 10 that when the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers with the story of the Good Samaritan. And so we love Samaritans, but we ignore the needs of our family or of the person next door. Or we read Matthew 10:37, where Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And we do not read the next lines, which point to Jesus' true message in the passage. "He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We forget that Jesus is talking to Jews and to us about our identity and our heritage. He is asking us to accept a new identity, not to abandon human relationships. When God calls us, it is not away from commitment. It is to deeper love and to additional commitments. Like the servant who was faithful over few things, we are given additional responsibilities, not fewer ones. For many of us, however, ministry has become a way of escaping intense personal relationships because we use it as an excuse to love everyone in general and no one in particular. It is my belief that God has created us so that we need to give and to receive love in close personal relationships just as much as we need to give and receive love in our relationship to God. Each of these love relationships is unique, and they are not mutually exclusive. God is not jealous of human love. It is true that God is jealous of other gods, and that sometimes human relationships become sick forms of worship. However, I do not think that the intensity of love in a healthy relationship must be tempered so as not to compete with one's commitment to God. If commitment to God is causing our human relationships to fail, then it is our own fault, not God's. Let me repeat what I said a second ago. We need to give love and to receive love in intimate, personal relationships just as much as we need to give and receive love in our relationship to God. We need both relationships precisely because we are human beings, not gods. I believe that the failure of persons in ministry to recognize their needs for intense human ties, as well as the need for ties to God, is the direct cause of many unhappy experiences which we are facing today. Lack of communication among students and professors, misunderstandings with parishioners, lack of peer group support, marriage and family failures, All of these problems are fueled by our reticence to risk intense relationships with one another and by our inability to reconcile our human relationships with our relationship to God. Jesus commanded us to love one another because he first loved us. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of deep love among family members, between friends and lovers, among the disciples of Jesus. One of the most fervent expressions of human love that I know is recorded in the passage which I read to you from the Song of Songs. That passage speaks of love, human love, which is as strong as death. Jesus, too, speaks of human love, which is as strong as death. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God has created us so that we need to give and to receive love in all types of close human relationships. Through his written and incarnate word, God has commanded us to risk committing ourselves to others in love, commitment even to the point of death. Such strong human ties do not threaten God, nor is God jealous of the most intimate love which we can give to family, friends, and peers. God knows, as we must find out, that human love, which is as strong as death, could still never compete with the love of God, which has overcome death. That victorious love is ours for the asking and for the sharing. May we stand and sing hymn number 257. Let us make it a hymn of commitment to God and to one another. Now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.